This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain. Here we are, back again, and another mad game week ahead of us. My name's Rich Wolfenden, football commentator, Triple Captain. Presenter. Never, I don't know why I do this intro
early,
every week.
Isn't it?
It's way too early. Been awake for, I don't know what to say normally, never mind after being awake for 15, 20 minutes. But here we are for another episode of everyone's favourite fantasy football podcast. I'm not alone though. I'm joined by Mr. Ben Anderson. It's too early. And Mr. Luke Jerdy. How are you, Luke?
I'm very, very good, Rich. Thanks very much. We're doing all right, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think you and I did okay on our free hits. I know a lot of people really didn't. I know that some people, like Harry, friend of the pod, got a red arrow on a free hit.
Did he?
Very disappointing for him. I think we did all right. I mean, the main thing that we got right this week, we weren't tempted to captain a Burnley. Well, we were tempted to captain
a Burnley player,
but we didn't. And we stuck. I think both of us went for Son, didn't we?
Yeah, Ben went for Son as well, didn't you?
Yeah. I went without the free hit this week and I managed to ride the wave. I got 55 points, minus four, 51, with no free hit. I was delighted.
Excellent. That's not bad, really. I mean, it could have gone disastrously wrong if the free hit kind of template did better, but it wasn't one of those game weeks really where anyone exploded, was it? I guess apart from maybe Harry Kane, who got a nice double digit haul. But I mean, because I thought, oh damn, I should have captained Kane. But actually, when you add it up, it makes about 2 points difference, because obviously Son managed to get a little bonus, snuck a little bonus in the end, so he got nine. Double that is 18, and Kane got 11, so double that's 22. So really, there's not, when you've got both of them, there really wasn't much difference in captaining Son or Kane this week. So that was the difference. I mean, I pretty much, him and Son, captaining Son and picking Tino Livramento was the difference for me this week.
Tino,
and
come
look,
on.
This is where sometimes budget and not worrying about team value actually helps. Because before the game week, it was like, oh, Livramento's maybe a bit of a rotation risk, but a lot of Saints fans are saying that Perro's going to come back in, but he'd had COVID, I think. And I just couldn't afford anyone more expensive than Livramento. And Livramento's been in my team since, you know, week four or five or whatever. So I just kept him in and he got 8 points. So that's just an example of like, well, the budget forced me to go for Livramento. And he got more points than, say, Bednarek, and Perro didn't play. I think sometimes just, you know, don't worry too much about team value. Sometimes it can really help, of course, but this is an instance where it worked nicely for me.
And it's the same as well. Like you get tempted in, you get suckered in by the teams who are like in the Champions League places when, you know, there's a massive rotation risk or whatever. Like I brought in Mahrez and Luke Shaw. Man United got their clean sheet, but Telles started at fullback. So I think Shaw came on as a sub for about 10 minutes, and then Mahrez obviously came on for about 15 minutes or something like that.
One
as well.
Point from Mahrez.
I know, isn't that so frustrating? And Foden was the other option as well, around the same price bracket, who got the only goal of the match. So frustrating. But yeah, I still got a green arrow, so can't complain too much, really. Yeah,
can I make an apology? Before we crack on, I need to apologise to James Scranage, who is a long-term, he listened to the very first episode of Triple Captain, and he's with us every single week. He was texting me, and he's like, I'm gonna captain Nick Pope. And I was like, don't captain Nick Pope. He ended up captaining Weghorst. Nick Pope, of course, and he only got 5 points from the double game week, but Weghorst only got 3 points from a double game week. So I did cost you a couple of points there, James, but why you did that when you got Harry Kane in the team? Although I did see a tweet earlier on that said, the day that I don't captain a double game week player is the day I stop playing the game. It's so much more fun having a captain for 180 minutes than it is for 90.
Oh,
so I get that.
But then the disappointment is so much. Those people in the top K who captained Brownhill this week, and I'm like, oh,
what?
Why are you captaining Brownhill? Come on.
There's not I don't agree with that. It's not more fun necessarily. Yeah, it might be if they score well, but I can't imagine that captaining Weghorst was a fun experience week. I mean, Burnley were nine. Look, I'm being captain hindsight. I was close to captaining Weghorst. I'm not saying it was a bad decision.
Triple captain hindsight
means to anyone, but Burnley were 19th in the league for XG. They weren't going to have a lot of chances to score in these two games. Yeah, they did well against Brighton. They kept their clean sheet against whoever it was after that. There was an upturn in form, so I can completely see why people did it. But they're going to get less chances in two games against Crystal Palace and Leicester, who are two decent sides, let's not forget, than Tottenham were going to get against Bielsa's Leeds. I mean, it was his final... It was the final kind of toll of the death knell, wasn't it, for Bielsa?
He's gone.
And they lost 4-0, and that's exactly how things were panning out for Leeds.
Although, speaking of like boring football teams and unreliable football teams especially, I don't know how long I could keep the captain's armband on Son or Kane. I mean, all right, they absolutely swept Leeds aside and they beat Manchester City a few weeks before that, but they lost to Burnley and they got beat by Middlesbrough in the FA Cup last night. So you can't rely on Tottenham players too much either. But
no, I think this was the only week really where you could, because they were playing Leeds. And even now that Bielsa's gone and Leeds have got another manager, you probably can't rely on teams battering Leeds anymore, because the manager's going to change things up and probably make them a lot tighter at the back. That's a free hit, isn't it? You're gambling on one week. It paid off for us this week. It might not have done, you know, particularly because Son scored in the 84th minute and then immediately got substituted. So that's
the
relief. That's how it works.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah, absolute relief.
But it works.
So yeah, I'm up to 15k, boys. Whoa! I'm up to 15k.
Wowza.
Hello.
I think I'm 10 points or 11 points off the top 10k. I mean, Burnley. This is why you shouldn't check your overall rank during a game, but Burnley Leicester at 80 minutes when it was 0-0, I was going to 11k, 3 points off the top 10k, because Pope was on 12 and Roberts was on 8. But obviously then Leicester scored 2 goals, so Pope went right down to 5 and Roberts went right down to 3. But luckily, because of Son, because of Livramento and Kane, those decisions mean that I'm up to 15k. So the big decision for me now is, do I strike while the iron's hot, play my wild card, attack these double game weeks, set up for a bench boost in 29 when there's another double? I've got one free hit as well, still in the back pocket. I've used triple captain on Salah, which we know about. So it's like, do I attack this now, or do I kind of save the chips, try and play it safe, kind of hold my rank and then push towards the end of the season?
Right. I'm watching a new series on Netflix at the moment called Vikings Valhalla. The Vikings would use their chips. They would look at this and go, right, let's strike while the iron's hot. We've got the wind with us. Let's sail to England and destroy those towns and villages immediately. You know, we don't care. We don't care that the king is dead, the one that we're coming for vengeance against. We don't care that he's dead. We'll have his son instead. Come on, channel Vikings, Luke. Attack it.
I do like that mindset, but I don't think Vikings would attack the double Watford game week. I just don't see Vikings doing that. They might do, but you know.
This is the problem. If you go for it, I mean, I'm looking at the Fantasy Football Hub fixture ticker now for the next 6 game weeks. So, and by the way, we need to wait on making transfers and stuff, because it relies on the FA Cup fixtures. Chelsea may have a double in 28. They might have a double of Burnley and Norwich in game week 28, which makes Chelsea players very attractive. And Chelsea's fixtures will
suddenly James is back.
Shoot right back up. Reece James is back. They're fresh off the back of that disappointing EFL Cup final. It could go one or two ways, couldn't it? But their fixtures are really, really nice. I mean, if they get their double, they'll have Burnley, Norwich in 28. Then they'll have Newcastle. Then they'll have maybe Norwich again, but I'm not sure about that. Maybe that means that they'd have a blank game week 30. Then Brentford, then Southampton, then Leeds. I mean, they are really nice fixtures. I don't have any Chelsea at the moment. But the trouble is, the rest of the fixtures, the teams that have got the best ones are Newcastle, Wolves, Everton, Leeds, Spurs, Southampton, Watford and Villa. I mean, they don't exactly get you that excited, do they?
Not really, but, but this is the time of year.
Back on form, guys. Ollie Watkins has got his shooting boots on.
Yeah, I did that match as well, and Villa were good. I mean, Brighton were very disappointing again. Don't know what's happened to Brighton season. But yeah, there was 9 yellow cards in that match, you know. 9 yellow cards in Brighton Villa. It was crazy. But anyway, yeah, my point was going to be, I know it's been a mad season. COVID, postponements, like, you know, there's teams with like 4 games in hand on other teams and that sort of thing. It's crazy. The whole situation with Abramovich at Chelsea and Russia and Ukraine, that could see something happen with Chelsea's fixtures. You never know what could happen because he's no longer the owner, is he? He's passed ownership over, albeit probably temporarily.
He's passed over stewardship
sorry,
he,
yeah.
I think.
But apparently he's looked to sell and they've already had 3 offers, but they're way below the asking price for Chelsea. So,
well, it sounds like things will carry on as normal for Chelsea. Like, stewardship basically is him not legally passing over anything and him just saying, like, look, I'm just getting out of here for a bit.
Lending you the club.
Yeah, it's to the trustees of the Chelsea Foundation, isn't it, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, the charitable arm.
Should we have a look at the fixtures? Because I know what my plan is. I'm basically riding this week. The next 3 weeks, I think, are vital because we've got a double game week, not a great one this week, a double game week next week, then a blank game week, and then things kind of settle back down again to normal. So the next few weeks are absolutely vital. And I think if you've got chips in the bag, you've got to play them. Like, whatever you've got in the bag. I'm basically going, this week, ride it. Next week, free hit for the double. The week after, I'm going to free hit to try and basically not suffer too much from the blank game week. And then I'm going to wild card for the last 8 games of the season.
Yeah, I do like that idea. But I just love the fact that there's 8 teams with a double game week this week. And then 5 the game week after. Sorry, no, 6 the game week after. It's set up so nicely for a wild card and then a bench boost. And I don't know if we're going to get a better opportunity to use that plan and that approach throughout the season. There could well be, you know, postponements and stuff again. But I just like that setup just a little bit too much. But that'll be all the chips out the bag. And then, you know, there's still a good quarter of the season or so to go. So I'm a little bit on edge about using it so early. That's the only thing in terms of longevity, really, for the season.
Yeah, well, I guess you plan for that, don't you? And you have a mixture of players in there to attack the doubles, but also players, you know, from those top teams that are fighting for the title, particularly City and Liverpool. You've got to still have a couple of their assets in. And, I mean, well, there's a case for kind of going without the City defence. I mean, they've got fairly tricky fixtures, and obviously their schedules, I think they'll probably have a blank in 30 as well. So there's lots to consider, isn't there? I mean, at the moment, looking at my team, I mean, I've got double City defence, which obviously it works out very nicely normally, but perhaps isn't going to be as profitable anymore. It'd be a big risk going without someone like Cancelo, because the minute he scores highly, you lose a lot of points. But there's decisions to be made there. I mean, I've got Livramento, who I'll probably keep because they've got a nice double, but then he may be a rotation risk because of Pero's form. I've got Lacazette and Martinelli, I'd probably change. Salah I'd keep. I've got Dennis, who I'd definitely change. I've got Elise, who's got bad fixtures, I'd definitely change him. I've got Emerson Royale, who is a rotation risk, I'd change him. It makes complete sense, doesn't it? Actually, I'm talking myself into it. And I think, Ben, you're absolutely right. I'm in a strong position. Why not attack it? There's no point sitting back.
So much more fun.
Why not attack it?
Be a Viking.
Yeah. Plan for 29, but put in enough players that... which means I can probably ride out game week 30 with maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7 players, depending on the amount of fixtures there's going to be. And then save that final free hit for that big double, which is probably going to be in game week 36.
Go for it.
I mean, I've got Chelsea, it up now.
Yeah, Norwich versus Chelsea will move to game week 28. So Chelsea have got Luton tonight and Liverpool have got Norwich, haven't they, in the FA Cup? Norwich versus Chelsea will move to game week 28. This is from, of course, at Ben Crellin, the source of all FPL knowledge. Norwich versus Chelsea will move to game week 28 if Chelsea beat Luton or if Norwich beat Liverpool this midweek. You've got to imagine that that's going to be a double game week for Chelsea, don't you? Chelsea are going to beat Luton, more than likely.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with Chelsea, though, isn't it? Like, they've since Reece James and Chilwell got their injuries in, God, what was it? Was it November or October? Feels like a lifetime ago now. They've just not been the same side from an attacking point of view, have they, at all? Lukaku, if he even gets a game, doesn't look a threat. Did he have 7 touches, I think it was, not this weekend because they were in the League Cup, but the weekend before that, 7 touches in a whole game, 90 minutes, which is just
I think it's ever since he did that really ill-judged interview, and then Tuchel was benching him, and it just looks doomed to fail, doesn't it, that relationship. And, you know, he started Kai Havertz up front in the EFL Cup final. I mean, if that's not a snub to Lukaku, I don't know what is. So, yeah, I'm just not interested in Lukaku. Too much of a rotation risk. You got to focus on, I mean, if you are playing wildcard this week, and I guess if you're making transfers, particularly for this, if Chelsea get this double, which looks very likely, you've got to focus on their defence, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a punt on Mason Mount as well, or Pulisic, or Ziyech. Ziyech always looks pretty good. But again, there's just that rotation risk there, isn't there, with their midfield?
Yeah, the centre-backs.
They'll be on the road. Burnley and Norwich away is what they'll have, which are decent fixtures. I mean, but that says defence more than...
brilliant double, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is good.
But that does suggest as well that there's going to be rotations with those fixtures because, you know, this time of year, there's so much... especially for the teams in European football.
Top four's not secure, though, is it, for them?
It's not, but, you know, they're going to be thinking, we need to rest players for the Champions League, presumably, or Europa League, depending on what team you're playing for. But, I don't know, there's so much rotation risk around these fixtures. I mean, just look at Man City at the weekend. Like, so many people bringing in Mahrez, expecting him to start, and... he didn't get a kick. Well, he didn't until he came on the second half.
Which always happens with Mahrez, doesn't it?
Yeah, Mahrez is like...
one time we all bring him in, he doesn't start.
Yeah.
Typical.
But it's going to happen with Chelsea, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. So, okay, if we're playing wildcard, I mean, and this will help people with transfers anyway this week if you're not on wildcard. Who are we focusing on? I've got the best fixtures for the final 10 game weeks of the season here, and top of the this is obviously without blank game week 30 being announced yet, without knowing if Chelsea have got their double. Spurs actually come out on top for final 10 fixtures, closely followed by Wolves, then Arsenal, then Newcastle, then Southampton, Chelsea, Liverpool, Leeds, and it starts to get a bit trickier. So I guess we've got to be looking at Harry Kane, haven't we?
I guess we have, but they've just lost to Middlesbrough. that's the thing that you've got to have whenever you mention Tottenham, is that they're so incredibly unpredictable. But to be fair to Kane, he does seem to be back in the form that he's shown in recent years. And from an England point of view, that's really exciting with the World Cup just a few months away. For an FPL point of view, I think it's very exciting to have a premium forward who's actually scoring goals rather than having Lukaku, who's lucky if he gets a kick, and Ronaldo, who's not what he was like back in the day. Yeah, it's just nice to have Kane doing that. And it always used to be for me Son over Kane. But I think Kane, for his positional advantage, I think he's got to be your premium looking player for the end of the season. And he'll probably be my captain as well for a couple of those game weeks at least.
I mean, last six game weeks, he's top for shots. He's had 26 in his last six game weeks, 10 on target, 16 in the box, 5 big chances. He's got a 50% goal involvement, expected goal involvement. He's just, he's back. He's back on form. And the thing with Kane is he's got assist threat as well, as we've seen.
And he's on penalties.
Created 10 chances. Yeah, he's created 4 big chances. He's got 2 assists in that time. Yeah, on penalties. I think it's a bit of a no-brainer, really, isn't it, with those fixtures? I know what you mean about Spurs, very hit and miss, but if they score, it's likely that Kane's going to be involved. And Son's one of those players, isn't he, that we always talk about Son. His stats are never really up there with the best, but he's so clinical.
Yeah, I don't think you can afford to miss out on him, to be honest. He's just, he's classic Kane. And yeah, I will absolutely be finding a way to get him in every game week.
In the short term, they've got Everton this weekend, and then a double game week next week, Man United and Brighton. What are we thinking in the short term? Dolly, stop it. Sorry, I've got a dog here who's going absolutely mad this morning.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it?
Everton have shown better against the bigger teams.
I guess. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Everton are awful away from home, though. I think they've won one away game all season. So it's not a great record. And they're not exactly solid. It's a no-brainer. You've got to get in Harry Kane. There's, you know, you got to think about maybe bringing in other Tottenham assets because of those fixtures that Luke just mentioned. But against Everton, it's just such a great opportunity for attacking players to get a return. I mean, Everton beat Leeds 3-0 a few weeks ago, but they rode their luck to get that clean sheet. I think Leeds hit the woodwork twice. So, you know, with Kane around, Son around, even Kusilevsky around, who's looked good since joining. You know, they've got a proper potent
no, he is now.
Attacking threat. Yeah, he is. He looks good. I can't. We didn't know who he was, did we? but yeah.
What about Kane? What about, yes. Yeah, Kane, yes. And so we'd prefer him over Son at this stage, or would you go for both of them?
Just broke the record, haven't they? For the most goal combinations in Premier League history. Oh, that's just Tottenham, innit? That's the thing. Investing so much money.
I don't think I'd go with both.
20 million.
I don't think I'd go with both.
That's a lot of money on two Tottenham assets. I think I'd probably go with Kane, but you just know that there's going to be at least one game in that run towards the end of the season where Son's going to absolutely smash it ahead of Kane.
Yeah, but the good thing is it's not like last season where everybody's got Son and Kane. So if Son does perform well, it's not really going to hurt you that much. And I think you're right. I think I would prefer Kane right now just because Conte's pushed him further forward. And even when he goes further back, he's got that assist threat. So, yeah, I think I'd probably just go Kane, especially because there's a dearth of forwards, isn't there? There has been all season, really. So I think when you've got a forward like Kane, who's actually on form, and no other forward is really on form, you got to stick him in, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know he's got a good score this season, old Emmanuel Dennis, but just it's just not exciting owning Dennis at all. Even though he keeps having these double game weeks, bizarrely, he's just not a good FPL asset to own. He's just so disappointing. No, I think there's a big question mark over everybody else in Tottenham's team, apart from old Harry Kane.
I'm looking at the spreadsheet here from Ben, and Newcastle have got a double-double. So they've got 28 Brighton and Southampton, 29 Chelsea and Everton.
I mean, should we be interested in any Newcastle players?
You don't want to look at Newcastle defenders, do you? Let's be honest, considering the season they've had. They have shown a turn in form.
I mean, I don't think so, especially because is Trippier still out?
Yeah, I think he's going to be out till pretty much the end of the season as well.
Trippier would be the one, wouldn't he? Because he's got that goal threat and assist threat.
Yeah.
So you kind of... And if they get a clean sheet, then it's a bonus.
Yeah.
What's Sam Maximan saying? Is he still out?
He was out at the weekend, I think. Or he was at least the week
right,
before.
Okay.
Yeah, and Wilson's still out injured as well. Other than that, you're probably looking at Chris Wood, who's still not scored, and he wasn't doing
excite.
Well this season anyway before he even moved to Newcastle.
I don't think I'd go Chris Wood.
Talking about
got...
not exciting FPL assets.
Well, do you know who's had the most shots for Newcastle in the last six game weeks? It's a player from last season, Ben, who we shouted out, do you remember, and he was doing really well.
It's not Joe Linton.
No.
It's not Jamal Lascelles, is it? You were buzzing about him last season.
No, it's Willock. It's Joe Willock.
Oh, Joe Willock. Yeah, he had a very good end to last season. A very good end. Oh,
maybe I'll get on the Willock train.
Yeah, for Newcastle, he's had the most shots. He's got the best XG. He's had two big chances, 9 shots in the box. Goal involvement 38%.
You know what?
Really
he's had a big
anything.
3 weeks.
Ben's eyebrows just went so high on his forehead.
10 points against West Ham. He got 6 points against the mighty Aston Villa. Like in the last 3 weeks, he's got 24 points. That's 8 points average a week.
It's a real punt, but he's got the best stats for Newcastle at the moment. There's also a lot of talk about Ryan Fraser in the community, 5.3 million, back with his old manager Eddie Howe. He's created 12 chances in his last six, which is top for Newcastle.
I suppose
that's only two chances a game he's creating, isn't it? Created two big chances, got two assists.
Oh, two big chances. That's slightly better than just two chances, I suppose.
Yeah, he's created two chances per match.
Okay.
In his last six. I mean, yeah, it doesn't exactly fill you with excitement, does it?
No, that is FPL Twitter at its purest right there. Yeah, in a hype
is, isn't it?
Over the most disappointing football. He's done nothing all season. He's done nothing all season. How is there hype around this man?
It's because of that. It's that double that just excites everyone.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like this week everyone was like, oh, we got to make sure we got Connor Roberts in and Val Beghorst. And, you know, it's not exciting. It's not exciting in the slightest. Just, please, people, don't get Fraser.
What is exciting, though, is Wolves have got a double this week and their fixtures look good. Wolves have got both at home, Crystal Palace and then Watford.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I've got no Wolves players.
No.
Jimenez.
I think the defence there as well. I mean, Crystal Palace have got a goal in them. But I feel like Wolves, you know, every time you see a Wolves score, it's 1-0 either way, isn't it?
2-0
like,
at push.
Not many goals. Yeah. I need to get Wolves defender in actually for those two fixtures, both at the Molineux.
And they're all very affordable, their defenders. You're pretty much getting them in for clean sheets, let's be honest. They don't really have many goals in them. All right, you might get a corner goal from a Cody or from a Kilman or something like that. But Semedo, I think he's got a pretty decent record running down that right-hand side. He's a pretty attacking fullback. On the left-hand side, they've had a bit of Marcel and like Nori, haven't they? And they've not really set the world on fire. You know, I think a good finish for Wolves this season will be seventh in the league. If they can win that seventh place cup, they'll have a good season. But they're going to be doing that and getting there with 1-0s and maybe the odd 2-0. So I feel like, you know, Jose Sarr's a great shout. He's been one of the best goalkeepers all season. And, you know, you could bring him in. Makes quite a lot of saves, gets quite a lot of clean sheets. You know, Ramsdale's been pretty much nailed on for me for most of the season. I've got De Gea now, but I jump over to Jose Sarr. I'm not completely against it, to be honest, especially for these good run of fixtures.
Leeds are going to get battered, aren't they, this game week? They got Leicester and then mighty Aston Villa. They're going to get absolutely battered this week.
They've got a new manager, though, haven't they?
No chance. He's had no time.
Really?
He's had no time. Yeah, I think they're going to have a terrible
week. I don't know. You could
see
an instant improvement. I mean, I definitely think we should be looking at Rafinha again now, particularly as he'll want to put himself in the shop window for summer. I think Rafinha is that kind of calculated punt that is that could pay off because of his previous form, his consistency for Leeds. He's got that talismanic quality, and there's every chance that they improve with the new manager. So I mean, if I choose to go wild card, I'd be very tempted by Rafinha, just because he's got, as we've spoken about before, he's got that proven, consistent quality.
Yeah, that's true. But that was under the absolute lunatic that was Bielsa, who just throws everything forward. So he's probably not going to be as attacking, I suppose. Well, Leeds in general are just
Wolves, by the way, defensively, really aren't doing that well in terms of stats. They've conceded 15 shots on average per game for the last seven, which puts them 16th overall for defending. Yeah, it's really not that great. I'm just checking a few other stats. Yeah, in the box, poor again, 17th. Shots on target, 17th. Expected goals conceded, yeah, kind of down the bottom. So, yeah, defensively, they've not actually been doing as well as we think.
Yeah, they've had one clean sheet in seven.
Yeah, it puts me off.
But that's,
puts
that's
me off.
The thing, they don't concede many, though. It's not like they get, like, the last few results, they let in one against West Ham. Arsenal scored two past them. Leicester scored one past them. Spurs didn't. Arsenal won. Brentford put one past them, Southampton put one past them, Manchester United didn't. Like, it's all like, it's always just like, oh, that's that one goal that wrecks the, it's yeah. They're never going, I mean, oh yeah, Wolves have just been battered 4-0.
I mean, play it. Watford's a shoo-in for a clean sheet, isn't it? But in this double, but I'm not sure. I think Crystal Palace will score. I think Everton will probably score against them in 29. I think Leeds will probably score in 30. Villa will score in 31. Newcastle are fighting for their lives. Then they've got Man City. Then Burnley are fighting for their lives. So it doesn't excite me as much as it perhaps should, their defence right now with those stats.
Maybe it's a sign that the dog, I've just had this whiff come across whilst I'm recording, and maybe it's a sign whilst we're talking about Wolves' defence that the dog has just done the biggest poo on the middle of the office floor that I've ever seen. She's still a puppy. She's still getting it. I've got to go for a minute, boys. I'll be back.
Okay.
You carry on talking, FPL. I've got, my God.
Sorry, Ben. We've lost Ben for now. Just remember to wash your hands, Ben, before you go. Good lad. Okay.
So I think a lot of the conversation is going to be Broja versus Shea Adams for Southampton going forward. Adams is on really good form and is actually doing really well stats-wise. But obviously Broja's a lot cheaper, probably a little bit more clinical than Shea Adams. But I think Adams might be a bit more nailed than Broja. What are your thoughts on those two?
Yeah, you could say that. I think he started the last six, has he, Shea Adams? Yeah, he has, but he's had injury issues and he's been dropped throughout the season, hasn't he? And I think that's probably the reason why he's not been able to find any kind of form. He's a great option, though. If you can get goals out of Shea Adams, you know, 6.9, that's a very, very affordable forward. But like you say, Broja's a little bit more clinical. He's been, you know, pretty much a regular in the 11 over the last few weeks as well. There's just so much hype around Broja, isn't there? Again, I don't know if he's one of those players that FPL Twitter just gets behind, and, you know, you spend 10 minutes on Twitter and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I've got to have Ryan Fraser and Armando Broja in my team. What am I doing? But yeah, it's these small margins which determine your game weeks, aren't they? You know, you go for Broja over Adams, or you go for Adams over Broja, and that, you know, that's the difference of a swing of, you know, could be 8-9 points.
And you might be forced to go Broja. Again, like I said earlier about team value, it might just work out that it's like, well, I definitely want a Southampton attacker, and I haven't got the money to go Shea Adams. Shea Adams is 1.4 million more. And just looking at the stats here in their last kind of 5-6 games, there's really not much to choose between them. Broja's had 14 shots, Adams had 13. Broja's had 7 on target, Adams had 6. 12-11 for in the box. Adams has had a bit more of quality of chances. He's had 4 big chances, so his XG is a bit higher. But there's really not a lot to choose between them. It's just that Shea Adams is the one that's got the goals recently. So actually looking at that, I'd probably prefer to save the money and go Broja, despite the kind of the rotation risk. Interestingly, Stuart Armstrong has had 18 shots in his last 5 starts for Southampton, which is good.
I do like a little bit of Stuart Armstrong. He scored some absolute worldies as well. Who was that goal he scored the screamer against Leeds, where he just booted it in, right foot outside of the boot, bent it into the top corner. Absolute glorious goal. But yeah, Southampton have done fair play to them this season. Southampton have done well. They've edged their way away from the relegation zone. You know, there's other teams that have slipped below them over the last couple of months. You know, Brentford are in free fall, as are Everton as well. And, you know, they've managed to stay above the rest. That win for Villa at the weekend was crucial as well. That's kept them ahead of the rest. And you know, those two teams look safe now. And, you know, they could play with a bit of a freedom for the remainder of the campaign. But, yeah, Armstrong would be a proper roll of the dice because he's only owned by 0.2% of players. But you look at his fixtures, Villa, Watford, Newcastle, Burnley, Leeds. Why not take a chance? If you really want to enjoy your fantasy football, gamble on Stuart Armstrong.
So I think we should briefly talk Chelsea. I know we touched on them earlier, but is there anyone we're going for there? Apart from defenders, are we going for attack? I think defenders have got to be the priority, right?
Yeah, almost definitely. I need to read up a little bit more about Reece James, see what his fitness capabilities are at the moment. Chelsea fans hate Marcus Alonso, but he's got so much potential in fantasy football. He's not really delivered it that well this season. Maybe you just
rotation risk, innit?
Yeah, that's it. Maybe you just go with Rudiger, or you just go with Thiago Silva, because they've been the most solid choices in their defense. And even though I had Thiago Silva for about 2 months more than I wanted him, he was delivering those clean sheet points, you know, and he even popped up with a goal every now and then. But Rudiger is one of those assets who's exciting to own, because you watch a full Chelsea match and he just bombs forward to the edge of the penalty area. And he's so exciting to watch. And you're just encouraging him to shoot every time he gets forward. And he's a threat on corners as well with his high jump. But yeah, there's no attacking options. You can maybe look at Mount, but I've just took him out. He doesn't light the world on fire, usually, does he, Mason Mount?
He trickles in points, doesn't he? I know he scored that hat-trick earlier on in the season, but he does tend to trickle in points. And although he's kind of their best attacker in a way, there's still a little bit of a rotation risk there with Mason Mount sometimes. And yeah, I just think defence is going to be much more interesting from Chelsea. I guess this is where the wild carders this week are going to have an advantage over non-wild carders, is getting those Chelsea assets in. And it's if you go all in on Chelsea with three, or if you maybe go double defence. They had that spell, didn't they, where we all put Reece James in. We all had like we had James and Alonso, and we all wanted James and Chilwell. And then they went on this run where they just kept no clean sheets, and there was no attacking returns from either of them, was
obviously
there? But
yeah.
But if you're going to get clean sheets, it's going to be against Burnley and Norwich, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Come on.
And yeah, I mean, it's every time you mention Chelsea from an FPL point of view, you've got to drop in the caveat of, what about Jorginho? Because they always seem to get penalties, Chelsea. And I might be right in saying he's their top goal scorer this season. So you've got to ask the question, what about Jorginho?
You've always got to ask it.
Yeah.
You've always got to ask it. There's going to be those game weeks, isn't there, where he gets his 15 points or he scores two penalties or something. Yeah. You're like, why isn't he in? Why didn't I pick Jorginho? He's cheap. He's 5 million. It's like, there's a reason you didn't pick Jorginho. Calm down.
Yeah.
Just to settle yourself.
His shots are from 12 yards from the penalty spot. That's all you're going to get from him. But, you know, he pretty much scores every penalty he takes. Maybe if you've got the budget in reserve, you could stick him on your bench or something. But yeah.
But this is the thing, isn't it? This was my original point. All the teams that have got the best fixtures aren't the ones that are exciting. So it's a really tricky decision, because it's like, yeah, you could wild card and you could go all in on these players for the rest of the season, but you're relying on players that just don't normally deliver.
That's it. I mean,
and there's still unknowns. You look at Leicester have only played 24 games. Arsenal have only played 24 games. Chelsea got two games in hand. They're 25. Tottenham are 25 as well. Like, there's still stuff to be scheduled. I think my whole plan, looking at the fixtures, please, please, please look at the fixtures. Don't just listen to us. Go and actively find out. There's so much going on. Please check the fixtures. I think my plan of get through this week and then free hit for the blank and then wild card is out the window. I actually think it's better to, I think the fixtures are better this week for the doubles than they are for next week, looking at them.
I think maybe.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I hate it when plans change like that. In my head.
Super, super quickly then, just before we go, I think, Ben, over to you. Let's choose three best Villa assets. And then we'll quickly do Arsenal, and then I think we can finish.
Matty Cash scored a fabulous goal at the weekend. He's looking great. I think that we're looking, you know, in terms of those fixtures we've got coming up, I can see some clean sheets for Villa there. So I think there's some clean sheet points coming from Matty Cash as well. Atletico Madrid are interested, apparently, in Matty Cash in the summer. I can see it. I can see it. He's a great player. Ollie Watkins has got his shooting boots back on. A great finish from Ollie Watkins. It was a huge ball through from the back from Tyro Mings. Ollie Watkins just picked it up in exactly... The first touch was beautiful and just buried it. And you know what? Watkins needs that. Watkins needs that. That goal to, and he very, like, honestly, now I think
seven.
You can see him have a really good few weeks. Yeah, he just needs one, and then he gets on it and he gets that confidence again. So I've got Ollie Watkins in and I'm keeping him. And I'm even thinking of captaining Ollie Watkins this week because Villa have got the double game week. Oh, God. Yes, you can pull that
good
face.
God.
But I am the man that shouted Joel Matip and then he scored. So you watched.
Yeah, Joel Matip scored in a week where like everybody scored.
And then my other Villa shout, and he hasn't had a brilliant few weeks, but he has the potential to absolutely bang, and he's so cheap, is Jacob Ramsey. You know, he got 12 points against Man United. He got 14 points against Leeds. The other big haul has got double digit against Norwich when Villa beat him 2-0 in game week 17. The last few weeks, yeah, he's got 3-2-1. So he hasn't had a great few weeks. But he's playing, he's starting Jacob Ramsey. And honestly, for the money that you pay for him, at the moment you're paying 4.8 million for Ramsey. And he's in fact, a lot of people have got on him, 9.4% selected now. But those would be my three.
Yeah, I think if you're planning on playing four in midfield for the majority, then Jacob Ramsey is the perfect cheap fifth midfielder. But you just got to be aware that you may be leaving points on the bench now and again. But yeah, I think he's the best value midfielder in the game at that price.
Coutinho, I think, has had more shots than anybody else at Villa since he joined.
Yeah, yep.
Maybe Coutinho for their double game week.
Yeah, it's Coutinho or Buendia, isn't it? And I think Coutinho is going to be favoured for his quality.
Buendia started on the bench last week.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Played,
right,
for
okay.
the first time in ages, he played Watkins and Ings up top, and Buendia was...
Right,
the,
okay. You know, yeah, so Coutinho is much safer. Yeah. Great. Yeah. And quickly, Arsenal, Saka, Laka, Ramsdale. Would they be your three?
Saka, Laka, Rama.
Saka, Laka, Rama.
Saka and Emil Smith Rowe. And maybe another one. And Ramsdale. Doesn't fit into the song, but probably those three. That's it.
brilliant. So what about captain? Maybe, yeah. Captain for double game week 28. Are we going to go with a double game weeker, or are we going to go with Salah or Kane or Son?
Oh, bloody hell.
It's tough.
That's why I hate
it's tough.
FPL.
That's what I mean. There aren't that many options. Yeah. There aren't that many
Ollie
options.
Watkins. Ollie Watkins all day. You watch.
Not for me.
I just can't. I can't bring myself to do a Villa player or a Wolves player. I just can't do it.
Because he hates the Midlands.
I just can't stand it. Don't even get me started on Coventry. Jesus. But yeah.
yeah.
It's probably... it's boring. And it's very game week 12 or whatever. But I'm probably just going to go captain Salah against West Ham. It's boring, but...
Well, he won't be that highly captained because of all the doubles. So he'll be a differential captain.
Will
you're relying on him to score in that... In his single game week, and he is playing West Ham. West Ham are they tend to do well against the bigger teams.
At Anfield, though, that's the thing. And Liverpool have got momentum. Yeah, and that's it. That's the phrase as well that should be the clincher on your captaincy at Anfield. It's Salah.
Yeah,
that's it. Go with Mo. Not said it in a while. Go with Mo. Yeah, that's what.
How about you, Luke?
Be captaining.
I really don't know. I need to decide exactly what I'm doing. I need to have a proper look. I'm very tempted to wild card. I'm kind of probably 70-30 in favour of wild carding at the moment, just to kind of really attack these doubles. But it's going to rely on picking players that I don't normally trust. So it's going to be a tricky decision. I guess it's going to be a mixture of players I don't normally trust. With Kane, with Salah, with a City asset, with Chelsea defenders, you know, and then you've got the players like Coutinho, Rafinha, Jimenez maybe, a couple of Southampton just to kind of bring up the rear. So it excites me looking at this and kind of to start tinkering. So that's probably going to be my decision, but I've no idea who I'm going to captain.
And it's the Manchester derby.
Yes, it is.
Which could be a tasty one. I think it could be a tasty game.
It could.
Goals galore.
Just got to build a big red wall and prevent the space for Foden and Sterling, and don't allow De Bruyne to have the time to do what he can do.
Well, we are Triple Captain at FPL Triple Cap on Twitter, and tomorrow one of us enters triple figures. Rich, it's your 30th. How are you feeling?
Oh God.
A new decade.
I know.
A new decade. Isn't it exciting?
I think I probably...
Possibilities.
The potential is there. I spent all day yesterday trying to work out how to do my gas and electric meter, which is a proper 30s job to do. Clean my windows, the inside of the windows, and the blinds as well. So, you know, I'm going into my 30s, you know, a flaming hot.
Ready. Yeah. With a very clean hair. Yeah, great.
Very, very clean. But yeah, I'm ready for it. 30 years old. And yeah. I reckon I might still be playing FPL at 60 years old. You know, we'll see. Maybe we'll have some kind of Android Salah and we'll still be picking him every game week. Who knows?
Android Salah?
Baby.
Well, happy birthday for tomorrow.
Mate. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, happy birthday, Rich, for tomorrow.
Is that it then? Are we done?
That's it.
Cool. At FPL Triple Cap. Yeah, follow us, join the Discord, and we'll try and answer all your questions over there. I'm going back to bed. Good luck, everybody, in this game.